Afternoon, everyone. It's Antonia. It's Thursday, 5 o'clock. I'm so glad that you are here to join us here in Connecticut. It is rainy, 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 and super, super cold. So what can we expect? It's the end of October. This is sort of the weather we should be having. As you know, last week we were talking about how warm it was. So it is a little, I don't know. I'm never ready for it to get super cold, but the leaves are turning, they're falling. So it seems that this is where we're going to be. So as you know, I always start off, I hope you're being safe. I hope you are wearing your mask and socially distancing. We see numbers are going up everywhere, especially here in Connecticut. But today's show is all about voting. So I want you to stay happy and healthy, keep the mask on, sanitize, do what you got to do so that you can vote on Tuesday, if you haven't already voted via absentee ballot. So today I'm being joined by my friend, Bianca Shin. I'm going to let her in here for us to join, for her to join me on the screen. Hello, Miss Bianca. Bianca is a big advocate for voting here in Stamford, Connecticut. And so she was the perfect person to talk to today about what we need to do to make sure that our vote not only is cast and counted, but that we get at least 5 more people to the ballot. So how are you, Bianca?
Hi, Antonia. How are you? Thank you very much for having me this evening. It's a pleasure. Anything that's about voting, I get excited.
That's why I knew you were the person that I needed to get in touch with. Yeah. So just to tell you a little bit about the show, Bianca, it's called So Now You Know. And what I do is I bring in family, friends, guests, that are doing amazing things in the community, which you are one. You check off all those boxes. And as we know, voting is coming up on Tuesday. I wanted to share as much information with our listeners. Some are on Facebook and are watching us live, and then some are listening to us. So I just knew that who can come in here and get the facts straight? Because sometimes I even get confused talking about voting, but I know that you are in the community and you are doing this all the time. So let's just start, and I'll let you introduce yourself and your background.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Antonia, before I start, I want to give you a special shout out because you are also one of the very proactive community leaders in Stamford and perhaps in the Fairfield County period in engaging younger youth in empowering them. My name is Bianca Shin, Des Ross. I've lived, born and raised here in Stamford, Connecticut. I have a background in public health. I'm a certified health education specialist and also Connecticut certified teacher. I've worked in both nonprofit sectors, large governmental agencies, such as the Department of Children and Families, and also experience working at the United Nations in New York. So I have a vast experience. With all those experience I've had, they've always taught me different things. And especially now, I currently work at a local nonprofit, Don't Miss Foundations, Don't Miss Kids. And it's a pleasure because I'm working with kids, young adults, youth. It's just, as you know, Antonia, because I've had to tap into you as a resource in providing support in supporting our young adults. So it has been a learning experience and it continues to be a learning experience. And also, I am currently on the executive board in Connecticut executive board with the Connecticut League of Women Voters. So I enjoy that position. My position is director at large on the board. I have a 3-year mandate. So I'm looking forward into serving our community. And I'm also very proactive in the Stamford, Connecticut League of Women Voters also.
Nice. See, you do a myriad of things. You are a true champion of our community. So let's get right to it. I'm looking at this website for vote.org. We are 4 days, 7 hours, 54 minutes and 53 seconds for November 3rd. So I just want to start, I've heard a lot, and we've been seeing it in the papers everywhere. Get out, vote, 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 vote. So what would you say, we're in the countdown, what are your main key points that you want people to know as far as Tuesday?
As far as Tuesday, if you have not completed your absentee ballot yet and have not sent it, please, by no later than tomorrow, send it in the mail. If for any reason, November 3rd, you still have that absentee ballot, go to the polls.
Right.
We cannot end if in at this point, because today's October 29th, I'm going to tell everyone who has an absentee ballot and plans to mail it out today or tomorrow, go to your local, there's little local absentee ballot boxes in four different areas in Stanford. There's one at the government centers. There's one at the Harry Bennett Center. There's one in the South End. And then there's one at the Yearwood. Those are all strategic places where a larger population may be at a disadvantage. Every vote counts and every election counts. Because although this is a presidential election, everything is on there. All eyes are on the president, on the presidential election. However, we have state representatives, we have state state senators that are on the ballot. We have local board of education. Local officials have so much power in making it, in giving you access to what you need. I am not in the business of telling you for who you should vote for, but I am definitely, and Antonia is one of my allies, in telling you that you should vote.
Absolutely.
You cannot speak loud or complain if you do not vote. And it's not only a call for action for this vote, for this election, it's every election. You have to vote in every election. The impact that it can have, imagine that you, and when I say you, younger people, because I think there's a lot of older people who are in the business of voting and they know what it means. There are still some segment that don't vote consistently, but I'm focused on the youth. Why? Because you guys are larger in majority. You have the power to change. I hear something ringing. Is it me, Antonia? Sorry.
That's okay. We're all family here. This is how it works when we're live, so don't even worry about it.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Do you hear a ring or anything?
I do hear a ring. It's not me.
Okay, it's I don't know. It's connected.
It might be connected to your computer.
Yes.
There you go.
So, yes. So, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a good point that you bring up about the youth. And the reason why I wanted to start with just at the get-go, what are the things that we need to do right now, is for those that are listening and those that are watching, even if you're listening for 5 minutes, I wanted you to get that important information. And for those of you who are not in the Connecticut area, definitely go to vote.org. I'm going to share the screen later and we can talk a little bit about that more. But there's so much information out on the internet, and there's so many, for all the questions that you have, you can find the answers there.
Yes.
And the beauty of that website is it breaks it down by state, locality, municipality. And as you were just saying, Bianca, there's so much more on certain ballots in certain areas that you can learn. You don't even have to see the ballot. Like, you can see the ballot ahead of time. And as a lot of people are talking about, have a plan to vote, like literally plan out the day. If you're going out on Tuesday, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do this time? Anticipate. And I think a lot of this, and this is just my opinion, I want to get your thoughts on this. There has been so much disenfranchised, right? And when people say that word, they're like, well, what do you mean? Here in Connecticut, like you were just talking about, we have all these absentee boxes. We have different easy ways for us to vote. But there are so many parts of the country where it's not that easy, where we're seeing these long lines in Pennsylvania, especially in the South, where it's just not that easy for people to cast their vote. And so it's really important, like you said, with the youth, for them to start navigating that process.
And those long lines, I know it seems empowering, but it's sad. Those are examples of voter suppression. In Connecticut, we don't know what we're going to face. And one of the things that I would like to point out, Connecticut is one of the few states that does not allow early voting. So I'm urging everyone on this Zoom or who's watching live, reach out to your state senator. You reach out to your state rep. Keep lobbying, get organized, get a group of four or five of you. It doesn't take much. Make noise to allow early voting. Early voting helps secure our democracy, because you're giving more choices. You can plan ahead. And one of the things is a lot of people are like, oh, why is it important this year that people are coming with this plan ahead? Oftentimes we have some of the best attention. Planning ahead should have been always part of our voting strategies. I'll do it after my meeting. I'll do it after I go grocery shopping. Then you drive past the polling station, you get home, and then you turn on the news and you're like, oh shoot.
Oh, right.
I didn't vote. It doesn't matter. Someone will vote for me. No, when we vote together, when you have a plan, it's a priority. Just like our health is a priority, voting is a priority because it has significant impact on the access of health, access overall to transportation, access to overall good quality of life. So this cannot wait, and we should not take it for granted. One thing that we've learned in the last 4 years, and although we're focused on the last 4 years, voter suppression did not start 4 years ago.
That's right.
It has been entrenched in part of our history. It has been silenced. People have forgotten about it because in certain states it's not as overt. But when you have a state as Connecticut, that is small, that is so-called blue or liberal or progressive, however you want to label it, does it make sense in 2020 that you have a state where you cannot early vote?
Right. And then there's already, I don't know the last count I saw, I think we're up to maybe 66 million votes that have been cast.
Yeah, 70 million as of last night, CNN reported it. I have yet to look at other data, but that's 70 million. And guess what? Connecticut's not part of that 70 million. Right. Well, actually, our absentee ballots are not counted until the night of the election. So that 70 million is early voting. And just to think about how we could have been supporting poll workers by being able to work early, by being able to vote early. So I'm looking at, what are the polls going to look like in Connecticut?
Well, what do you think? And I know in Connecticut we have we have the same day registration, right? You can register the day of here in Connecticut. Why do you think we don't have early registration? Is it an issue that it just hasn't come on the radar of our legislators?
No, we
got 2 minutes to our break, but very quickly, what do you think of some of the thoughts?
It has been on our radar, but with our constitution, with laws, we were missed by a margin, and it has to be re-voted again by our state legislator again in the next session. So that's why I'm calling for a call for action to making sure that everyone knows, if you want early voting and being able to vote and have it part of your plan schedule and make it happen, start now. And the other thing is, before we go on break, one of the things I would like for our politicians to understand, because they're the one that's making the laws, is that voting is a process. So if we're not part of the process and you're not listening to your constituents by allowing early voting, then what are you doing? What are you contributing to this democracy? And why are you preventing us from early voting?
Right. We definitely have to dive deeper into that conversation, because it is the way. And then, earlier I was saying disenfranchised. It becomes that when you're not giving people the full opportunity to their legal right to vote, whether we want to say they're making it very difficult for us to get to the ballot and we're narrowing the amount of time, like it's only that, like we don't have early registration. We're making it telling people they have to go really far away to vote. In some instances, we've had a lot of cases going up into the court and figuring out when do the votes get counted, when they don't get counted, when do they have an impact as far as, our president saying he wants the results the night of. When I'm hearing legislatively, the rule is a lot of states don't have to give a final certification till the 30 days or 20 days from the election.
I believe it's December 8th.
I think it fluctuates. Yeah. So we're going to get ready to take a break, and I want to come back because, as our president, there's a lot of confusing information that's being put out there for folks, and I want to get your thoughts on that. So you're listening to Antonia. So now we're going to get ready to take a break, and we'll be right back with Bianca.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Radio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
You're on mute, Antonia.
I know, right? That is like the phrase of the year. You get snips into people's homes. So this is kind of my like at-home studio, my little background here. So as we were talking, Bianca, you were mentioning the youth and the importance of getting them out and getting them registered to vote. Do you feel since the last election that youth are really being motivated and are kind of creating the narrative of getting out the vote and motivating people to be more active?
We have failed it. I'm so sorry. Hold on, Antonia.
That's okay. And I want to share, I was trying to share my screen so everyone would know what we were talking about before. There is so much robust information out on the internet. And if you go to vote.org, hopefully, if you're on Facebook, you can see this on my screen. But if you're listening to me, just keep that in mind. It's such an easy tag, right? Vote.org. And there you can learn every last thing that you'd want to know about this upcoming election. There's locate your polling place, learn where you can do early voting, locate a drop box. Like there's just so much information that I feel like you'd have to intentionally not want to vote. Like you'd have to be one of those folks that we had in the last election that was like, oh, my vote's not going to matter. What difference does it make? And you just sat at home. I feel like there's so much information in the community that it'd have to be intentional for you not to get out there and vote. So if you have any doubt or you're talking to someone that has a question that you're like, oh, I'm not sure, go here to vote.org. And very quickly, I'll just show you at the bottom of this page. There's everybody. When find anything you need to vote in your state election. Here you can go to Connecticut, North Carolina, you can go to Pennsylvania, you can check out what they're doing in Utah, right? Learn what their election deadlines, dates, and rules are all right there. So Bianca, you've been doing a lot of work in the community. What is your sense in talking to youth and how are you engaging them to want to get out there and participate in this election?
Antonia, I'm going to be honest and frank. We have failed them. Mm-hmm. We're asking youth to register and vote without properly equipping them and giving them the necessary tools. Civic engagement is key to having a healthier society because people will understand what's at stake, and that's where you have voters' engagement. Youth voters' engagement, what would we think about? I'm putting the public health hat on. I'm thinking about as voting should be a primary intervention type of strategy, meaning we start from day one when they're young. Why are we starting at 17 and 18? Would we teach kids how to wash their hands when they are 17 and 18? No. if we're teaching them, if we want them to be kind to each other, to want and to hold each other accountability and their elected officials and people that represent them, then they need to be included in the process for the first, in the beginning. Civic education should not be a 8 weeks workshop. It should be embedded in our culture, in our education system. Students who are in public schools are being denied that access. If you're in private school, and I'm using this from my experience with my nieces and nephew who attend local private school, whether it's King, Greenwich Country Day, they have some type of civic engagement is embedded. By the time they're 17 and 18, they're having debates.
Second nature, yeah.
Yes. So it's easy for us to go and blame youth engagement. They don't get it. Well, why should they get it when you're telling them at 17, 18? We tell them.
They don't take it as serious because it's always this afterthought.
Mm-hmm. It's an afterthought. They don't think of its importance because I agree with them. If it was so important, so significant, why are you telling me this time? It's like telling me to wear my seatbelt after I got in an accident and you never told me the importance of wearing the importance of seatbelts. The same way we tell kids when you get in the car, you wear your seatbelt, or if you're riding a bike, the safety of helmet, the safety of civic education is urgent.
Yeah.
Again, and this is a nonpartisan issue. I just want kids to understand, differentiate between what's fake news, because they're getting it from their parents. It's being shared in the media. Most of our youth cannot differentiate the news, and we're not even educating them how to get the news. They don't even have an understanding of how government works. And now we're telling them to go and vote. Think about voter registration. We're asking them, which is the voter registration process. It's a short index card. It probably takes 15 minutes the most to register. But if we're asking them to get a driver's license, a permit, they have to do how many hours of service and how many classes before we even give them a temporary permit, not even a license. And now we want to give them the ability to vote without giving them the tools. We have substance abuse education. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. It's understood. And we're not, but we're entrusting them to vote, and we want them to vote in a process where we're not educating them. Now, with that said, I have faith and I have hope, because what the Parkland shooting in Parkland youth in Florida showed us with the shooting incident, they rose up and stood up and redefine youth activism. And then you had the Black Lives Matter movement where youth are starting to speak up. But how do we continue that? So it's not a moment, but it's a momentum that we're going to keep. And I think that's urgent. With that said, if you're 18 and you're registered to vote, you need to go vote. If you want to learn about your politician or what to vote for, I'm going to make it simple. What do you care about?
And I think that is a place where we, as you know, are in the community, we then have to pick up that baton and make sure that happens, right? We need to empower and give agency to our young adults that shows this is how your vote works. Like you talked about a lot of things that are on the ballot. We need to have them understand that when you cast that vote, it is real to you. You're voting for healthcare. You're voting for different policies that are happening in your town or in your city. And that has to be an ongoing, in-your-face, constant conversation. Because I think a lot of the disconnect with our youth, some of it comes from us as adults who weren't voting, right? If your mom, your dad, your auntie, they weren't necessarily voting because they didn't think it was going to have an outcome. You might have grew up in that environment, and then therefore you don't think it's going to do anything for you. But I think since the Obama election, and now I think now people are really waking up to say, wait a minute, I actually can have a little say in how this outcome is going to be. So I'm hopeful too, but I think part of the community has to come together to keep these issues in front of our youth and in front of everyone to make sure that they understand that they can be part of the outcome.
And the other thing is, Antonia, I would like to bring to the attention that voting should not be a July to November activity. Because
that's
you see,
an, that's what, yes, it needs an ongoing conversation.
Because a lot of community organization, oh, we're doing registration in the summer. It's like, feel good, October. Here we are voting. Everyone's helping. What happened to January, February? What happened to those people that are that have just became U.S. citizen, that just turned 18, that like you every day, every month is a learning process and an opportunity to empower voters. If you care about voters and you want voters engagement, a community that really wants voter engagement is not going to be doing this July to November activity. And I think it's part of our American culture. And I'm not going to only say this about the Stanford community, but it's like this is just like the census had from January to October. Voting needs to be year round. It has to be year round where we have it in our agenda. Antonia, you work for the city. You have the unique opportunity to also work with students and youth. When is voting put on your agenda for youth engagement?
It doesn't. And I'll say two things, right? I would say that it's definitely not put on our curriculum or part of the normal narrative that we would have as civics and getting our kids engaged, right? We want them to get jobs. We get their work permits. A lot of kids, when they go to get their permit, they automatically right then and there can register to vote. I mean, my daughter got her permit. She's only 17. She got the information about voting and then she got called to jury duty. I'm like, well, how does that all happen? So I think part of that is that we do need to keep the conversation going on with our kids in real ways. And the other part of it is that we have to look at our disenfranchised, marginalized youth in the community. Those that are maybe have been involved in the criminal justice system. Those that, for whatever reasons, haven't graduated from high school and aren't getting that information readily. We have to look at those spaces that they are in and empower them to get out and vote, right? And I, so that's what I kind of see in some of the work that I do, is there is a lot of disengagement because whether someone has a felony or they were involved in the court system, or again, that just feeling like it doesn't matter if I vote.
But remember, we're catching them later because they're getting arrested at 15, 16. Civic engagement should start in kindergarten.
No, oh, absolutely. So I absolutely again, agree.
On top of all the issues that they're facing, and now we want to put voting as like the little topping. What importance does, yes.
Exactly.
And it's not something that's a
It's not a priority. So we're gonna get ready to take our second break so we can keep, because I want to keep talking about this, because this is a really important issue, especially for the Black and Brown community, for us to talk about. So you're listening to Antonia, and So Now You Know, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Ann Dow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? Then join me, Antonia, host of So Now You Know, Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc. Listen in as I attempt to satisfy that curiosity. I will be talking with amazing everyday people. Join the fun. So Now You Know on Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So you're back. It's Antonia. You're listening to So Now You Know. We're talking to Bianca Shin about the upcoming election and engaging our youth. And I just want to ask you this, Bianca, because I do think it is important. I think we're absolutely right as far as when do we start educating our children about the importance of voting? And where is that? It should play a much more crucial part in the overall curriculum from K through 12. And then I also think for our young adults that have graduated from high school and whether or not they're in certain communities where they have either, well, what we're seeing across the country is a lot of states have been lifting that felony restriction and allowing folks that have come back to their communities to vote, which is fantastic. And I'm hopeful that will keep happening, that states will keep doing that. And, you know, one of the promises of this new administration, if it's the Biden ticket, is that they will look at some justice reform. And one of those things will be making it uniform for some of those felony convictions to not preclude people from voting. So I am totally excited about that. But I want to get your thoughts. We're talking about the school and civics, but what responsibility is it for parents to educate their children about the importance of not only children, but other adults about the importance of voting?
But if you're starting from the beginning where you have a disenfranchised group, voter suppression comes in various forms, Antonia. It comes through community education and civic engagement. So you can have generations that is being passed on to each other where voting is not of importance. And their community is fostering that also. And how do they foster that? With certain policies that are set and they in certain living conditions, it reinforces the thought that voting doesn't matter. So now it's restructuring our thoughts in our community about the voter suppression that has been going on for decades. Because oftentimes, oh, these people don't care. They don't want to vote. Why should I care? Look at my condition. Now, if I was taught from the beginning, and not only taught, but empowered, that's the importance of empowerment. Empowerment doesn't come from speeches during the election season. Empowerment comes from our local politicians making differences in our community boards, listening to our needs. When our social conditions are being changed, and our social determinants are being changed, then that's where, Antonia, we become empowered. I feel I'm part of it. We have a segment of the population, Black and brown people, that feel excluded. And it's not a feeling. In many aspects, we are excluded. And when we are included, it's with these prerequisites. It's with these standards that are part of the inclusion. So when we're saying that people don't want to vote, then why are we educating? Why is it this segment of the population that doesn't see it? It's easy to say, oh, they don't want to vote. They don't understand the importance of voting. Well, Antonia, I don't understand the importance of exercising because I come from a family that exercise. I've seen it. If I see my neighbor is voting, that's why, like in church communities where you feel wanted and loved and empowered and there's a support group, you're going to go out and vote. And that's one of the reasons why in church group, because it's inclusive. There's a dialogue. There's a community of family. So you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go vote. Let's go vote. It's part of the community doing something. But if you don't feel like anyone's listening to you, or you're not part of a community, just because you're Black and brown and you live around a lot of Black and brown people doesn't necessarily mean you're included. Because exclusion come if you're working three jobs here and there. When do you congregate with your neighbors? When do you have that community? A community that votes together will make a difference. And that's why I say it starts. We can't rewind, but we can definitely make progress in looking ahead. And that's why I'm going to say that as community leaders, Antonia, what are we doing? How do we reset everything starting in January? December should be planning. After the holidays, everyone's like, okay, I'm tapped out. But what happens in January? Or are we going to wait until another 4 years? Or, I mean, in Stanford, we should be coming towards the mayoral election. This is an opportunity to have our youth, when I say young adults, from 15 to 24 in the process of voting. And then also to Antonio, when we're talking about civic engagement, this is where I talk about inclusive. Sometimes we have inclusion deserts. What I mean by inclusion deserts, especially in the voting process, it's not inclusive. When you think about campaigns, a student who's Black and brown, who's disengaged, who's inviting them to run and help them campaign? Candidates that look like them, and also their honors, their advanced, their parents are making connection. Where do our students have these connections? So this is where, are we waiting for people? What are we waiting for?
And I think part of, it's a great point, because I also think where we have so much social unrest going around the country, and so much of our youth are part of changing that narrative, whether they're protesting, they're organizing. And I think our generation, we have to change the way we actually think we should be advocating and campaigning, right? Because the kids want the youth want the answers now. And yeah. Part of what I think about in listening to you is accountability, is that even between our election times, those are the moments where we need to be holding Board of Ed reps accountable for the decisions that they're making and who they're affecting. We should, if the mayor is coming up in the next, it's accountability. Well, what have you done, mayor, for me? What have you done for my community? And so you're right. The conversation has to keep going. But we as adults that are in these positions, and also adults that are in our community that can guide our parents, our youth, to show up to the meetings, advocate for yourself, advocate for your community. And sometimes that voice is stifled, right? Sometimes that voice isn't allowed or given agency. And that adds to the what you were just talking about people just not feeling their vote matters. But I'm hopeful that as these things are happening, that we can start holding people accountable. And then our vote really does work, right? Then we really see a change. One thing I am worried about is if we lose, and we lose this election and President Trump is there for another 4 years, I think it says a lot, right? Because that's a whole lot of people who would have voted for him. And I'm hopeful that, you know, is not so much the case that, no, I'm going to be honest. I just don't think he's the best person to be running our country, and is very divisive. So I hope our country goes in a different way. But to your point, we're sending messages to our youth, those that are going to kind of be our next, you know, we're only going to be doing this for so long. But what are your thoughts? When you're out there, are you hearing a lot of people asking you about your opinion on Republican, Democrat? Do you feel that you have a lot of space that you're changing minds of the way they're voting? Or is it more, no, we just want you to vote? Like, what has been the consensus of folks that you're dealing with in the community?
A lot of people are fed up. Mm-hmm. And they ask, you know, the information is, should I do I get a lot of questions about the absentee ballot process. There's a lot of distrust, which is reasonable, which, you know, this is the first time Connecticut State is doing this absentee ballot to has given the opportunity for all of its U.S. citizens to participate in the absentee ballot if they choose to. So that's a whole new process. So us from Connecticut, we're not used to that. And then there's a lot of the misinformation in the media as, oh my gosh, your vote's not going to get counted. And then also with the delay in the postal office. And my thing is, the best way to show your stance, go to the polls and put your mask on. And because there's an urgency. And if you're unable to, then you definitely do your absentee ballot as soon as you get it. But there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of mistrust in the process. You know what's interesting, Antonia? America, the United States, is known as the country of democracy. The standard is so high. We have schooled other nations. We've reprimanded them. We are currently on the ground consulting them on how to have electoral process that is safe and inclusive. And here we are in a country that has voter suppression. And again, I'm going to restate this because I don't know for some reason what bubble we have been living in. Voter suppression has always existed. It has always been a form. It has been refined even more now with different tools, through policies, through states changing. And this is why I say every election matters. The composition of your state Senate and state representative in Connecticut can tomorrow determine different tools for voter suppression in Connecticut. So when we sit here and be like, oh, this is not going to happen in Connecticut. Oh, we're safe. Yeah, okay.
Right. And I think people need to understand that. Like we sit here and I can say, oh, like if you go onto like voter.org and you can see the different places that a person could go to the actual voting place. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you woke up the next day where I would say, oh, I'm just going to go to my local elementary school. I'm in this district and this is where they're telling me I need to go cast my vote. Yeah. It's 5 minutes away from my house. But what happens when you wake up and all of a sudden I'm going from this part of town to a different place, right? That's not so close to me. And oh, by the way, it's only open during certain hours. Oh, and by the way, I now have to figure out how I need to get there. And that's what people need to realize. In certain places, it's that easy.
It's that easy. And I tell people this, just like we tell people if they're going to engage in a sexual act to wear a condom to be safe.
There you go. Okay. Vote.
That's your voter safety measure against voter suppression. Vote. And yes. Vote correctly. Know what the issue. Yes. If you do not vote in one election, you may get stung.
That's right. That's right. And you know, I've been doing a lot of the phone banking and calling, especially in some of our swing states. And a lot of times, like I was just saying to you, you just want to get in and say, hey, what's your plan of action? Make sure you go vote, go here. And people want to have conversations about, you know, Trump's great. Let me tell you why he's great. Or this is the issue I have with the Democrats. And it's like, I hear you and we could talk about it all day long. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that you feel this way, but your proof is in the pudding, right? I need to know that regardless of where you are, you're actually going to show up somewhere on Tuesday and you are going to vote. So a lot of times in these last final days, it's kind of like trying to put the politics aside or figuring out Democratic Trump. Because I think most people at this point kind of know. Like, I don't think there's a lot of people on the fence. Pretty much know what they want to do, how they want to vote. And the importance is, please, just get yourself to the poll. So we're going to take our last break, Bianca, and we're going to come back. You're listening to Antonia on So Now You Know. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Thursday, you're listening to Antonia on So Now You Know. So, Bianca, I want you to talk a bit about the women's, and I'm going to get the name wrong, but the Women's League of Voters.
The League of Women's Voters.
Because I think it's the women's, right? I get it. I always get it messed up. But at the end of the day, women have women voted more than men? What is the importance of your organization that it's all women?
You know what the thing is? Women
have that came out right, but you get what I'm trying to because I think it's something we see across the country of women coming together and organizing. And I think women have done this for voting forever. So can you talk a little bit about how that came about?
The league is currently celebrating 100 years of women's suffrage. So that's how the league was founded, because women were excluded from voting. So in order for them to be part of the voting process, a lot of women had to get together, organize for years before they were finally being able to vote, being allowed to vote, and being having their constitutional right to vote being established. So that's one of the reasons for the League of Women, because who can better advocate for yourself if it wasn't for women? We did, the league, women also had men allies, but it was mostly women who in their communities that have always advocated and wanted women to be in the process, because it was always an exclusion process for Black and brown and women. And women were the last to be added to being allowed to vote. So that's one of the importance of the league. But the League of Women of Voters, the ability to be nonpartisan, mm-hmm. And it's most important about the league is like, okay, we want people to be involved in the democratic process, which part of it is voting. So how do we do that? So it's organizing around empowering and informing and educating. So those are the three core pillars in making sure that it's nonpartisan. We're going to give the information and allow people to make their decision. But one of the core things are we going to stamp it on people the importance of voting, because you cannot have inclusion without people participating in the voting process. The more delayed we are, whether it's men, women, from participating, then you're not being taught. Then you're just like, well, why should I advocate for you? And are you going to show up in the poll to vote for me? So I'm going to listen to the people who I know have the force, the money, the power, and the votes behind it to make it happen.
And what other stuff do you guys do throughout the year? Because as you was pointing out, this shouldn't just be a seasonal opportunity just to come out and vote. Is there other outreach that happens between elections?
With the league, whether it's a local league level, at the local level, we meet on a monthly basis year round. And we talk about different informations. How do we coordinate with local leaders and local community organization and setting up a calendar and informing whatever activity it is, as long as it's nonpartisan, we're here to collaborate. That's a good thing. The League is one of the few organizations that's in the business year round because it's the League of Women Voters. And we know the importance of, wow, like we cannot be doing this. It doesn't make sense November from July to November calendar.
Did you see an increase of membership over this, these last 4 years? Did you see more women gravitating to your organization?
Yes, a lot. And I see it, and diverse also, men also, and also the League of Women of Voters. We are always looking for volunteers and men also. I mean, although it's called the League of Women Voters because it was women who were fighting for their suffrage rights. Mm-hmm. So that it made sense to have it called the League of Women Voters. But we always have men in the Stanford. We have, for example, Bob Lyon is a member. Mm-hmm. But it's a nonpartisan. It's making sure everything we look at in partnering and sending out information is making sure, because we don't want to turn anyone off. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to turn them on. And by turning them on is to ignite that the ability for them to vote.
So what is your goal to get ready for the next after the 4 years? What would you hope to see in the next election as a positive outcome for our youth?
I want to see our increase. First of all, I would love to see something conformed by the community in establishing like a leadership academy or board to supplement what's not being occurring in public schools with civic engagement. That would run at least 16 weeks. That involves the youth and empowering them. And then also hopefully, you know, with the numbers and seeing the increase by at least 10%, that would be nice with the youth population.
And so if there are those that are listening to the call that want to get involved in getting Connecticut to be having early voting, how do they go about joining that cause?
I didn't hear you. For some reason, there was
early voting. Is it to contact your local representatives, yeah, your senators? Like, how can people who are hearing this that are saying, hey, in the next election, I would love to have early voting, how do we go about getting that organized or people finding more information?
Finding your information on the local websites. Vote411 has good information about local leaders, but just looking at who is your city rep, your state rep, your state rep and state senate. Your email doesn't have to be more than two paragraphs. I'm a Stanford resident. I am a resident in your constituent. I am asking for you to vote and support and put on your agenda early voting. That's the call of action. Maybe Antonia, the two of us could sit together and get a group of other people. I mean, I always say this. I am never in the business of going alone unless no one wants to go. But I'm always in the business of the more voices, the more noise we can make, the better. Let's stir it up and make it known, especially in Fairfield County. We don't want to be excluded out of the conversation.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way as we wrap this up. I definitely will join you. You don't have to do it alone. I'll be an ally with you. So again, Tuesday's the day. Look at vote.org. And I think, Bianca, you just shared, what was it, 411 vote?
Vote411.org.
Okay. There's lot of information out there. It's not too late. We can talk about here in Connecticut. You can go register the day of the election. It has to be in person, I believe, right, Bianca?
Yeah, in person.
You have to go to your city clerk, wherever you live in that jurisdiction. Again, but if you have questions, go to vote.org, look up Connecticut, go to the state website for Connecticut, call the Women's League. I mean, you can get information about what you can do on Tuesday. So I appreciate you, Bianca. Thank you so much for reaching out today. I hope we'll all be in a better mood on Tuesday. But we will make sure that everyone is happy and healthy. Go to your polling station, wear your mask, wear your gloves, anticipate that it might be a little longer. So give yourself some time if you have to sit there and wait in line. If you have that ballot, absentee ballot, just take it right to City Hall, to the clerk's office, or to one of those mailboxes. I don't know. We're wrapping up now. I haven't heard a lot about the U.S. mail being late here in Connecticut, but why risk it?
I wouldn't trust it. The best. Yeah.
Take it in. Cast that vote. It will be counted. And so happy voting, Bianca. I will happy talk to you soon. We will have you back. Maybe we can do a recap later.
Oh, yeah.
But again, everybody, get out there. Do your thing. Vote. Take two people with you. Call your auntie. Check with folks. Make sure they got it done. Do your civic duty. That's the best we can ask for you to do.
Show up and be about
it. Show up. All right. So we will talk to everybody next Thursday, 5 p.m. You're listening to Antonia on So Now You Know. And again, social distance, mask, sanitize. We'll talk to you all soon. Have a good one, Bianca.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? Then join me, Antonia, host of So Now You Know, Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc. Listen in as I attempt to satisfy that curiosity. I will be talking with amazing everyday people. Join the fun. So Now You Know on Thursdays at 5 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners looking to boost your business, why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.